Welcome everyone to today's interview with the TeleSummit. It's about how you live, taking the fear out of conversations about advanced care planning, serious illness, and end-of-life care. And today we are so lucky to have, I want to make sure I pronounce this correctly, Barbara Bates Sidorick.
Yes.
Who's president and founder of Lasting Matters. So welcome, Barbara.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
This is a real honor. I'm so excited to have you. And you've developed a beautiful product. The purpose behind it and the look of it. I just love the look of it. But before we get into Lasting Matters and talking about your work, I want to read a quick little bio so people will know all about you.
Great. Thanks.
So Barbara Bates Sidorick is president and founder of Lasting Matters and author of The Lasting Matters Organizer, a comprehensive guide to documenting life's most important personal information. The Lasting Matters Organizer was named a must-read book for 2014 by NHPR. Barbara's story was featured on mariastriver.com, where she writes inspirational stories for architects of change. Barbara gained her comprehensive understanding of the importance of end-of-life directives during her estates and trusts career, helping grieving family members. She comes from three generations of financial advisors. A Phi Beta Kappa graduate of Connecticut College, Barbara lives with her family in Rye, New Hampshire. So, wow, you've done a lot. So what I'd love to do is, I've got a few questions I want to be sure we cover, and these 30 minutes usually fly by because, you know, we're all very passionate about these topics. So I'm going to try to keep my eye on the timer here. But the first question is just tell us about Lasting Matters and how it got started.
So Lasting Matters was born out of actually a personal experience that I had. I should back up and say that I was an estates and trust paralegal in a large law firm in Boston years ago. And often I was the one that was sent to a widow's house after the death of a spouse and looking for the court inventory. What did the decedent own? Where were things located? And what I actually found was a lot of chaos and sadness at the same time of not having made decisions about things and not actually knowing what their spouse wanted or what they had in their homes, etc. So I would spend sometimes weeks going through attics and desk drawers and file cabinets and all the time seeing family members disagreeing about maybe what mom and dad would have liked in terms of a funeral or whether they want to be cremated or not. So that really stuck with me, that there was a lot of chaos in a very emotionally charged time after death. And then 11 years ago, I was just going on my merry way, and my phone rang, and my brother said two words. He said, "Mom's dead." And it was like one of those life-changing moments. And instead of observing other families go through what happens after death, I was experiencing that myself with my family. And
I believe your story is that this was quite unexpected, correct?
Quite. It was a sudden death. I had spoke with her the night before, and she wasn't sick, and it was one of those unexpected things. And what happened really was the realization that we had never had conversations about what she wanted. And we want, so how to best honor her in terms of a funeral, a memorial service, even just sort of the nuts and bolts of flowers she would have liked or hymns or all those things. What would happen to her possessions? All the things that nobody really talked about beyond having estate planning documents. So after that experience, I turned to my father and I said, "Look, when you die, I don't want the same scenario. I want to know what you have, where it's located, what are your wishes and what are your intentions?" And so I started to speak with him a lot about those choices. And I also started asking friends who had lost a parent or a spouse what they wish they had known before they die that would have helped them either save time, money, a lot of stress, and a lot of family arguments. And then I began my journey, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to create something. I'm a very organized person. I wanted to create something any adult could use to put everything in one place. And it's not about when you're going to die. You are going to die. We don't know when that is. So it's not just for people that are in their 80s and 90s. It's for people who are in their 30s and 40s. Because you don't know when that's going to happen. And all that information, once you're dead, nobody gets to ask the questions anymore. There are no more answers. So I created this organizer in the hopes that it would help other, just anybody really navigate what happens and all that information, all the details about your life. Nobody else knows. It's whatever's in your head is something that you need to really put down in writing so that your family knows what you want and where they're located.
Right. And your experience working with all those families for all those years, that must have been just valuable homework, so to speak, to try to figure out what to include in Lasting Matters.
It certainly was a lot of thought going through. It took me about 4 years to write, to research and write the organizer. I really wanted it to be just comprehensive. There are a lot of things that may not relate to you. Maybe you don't own real estate, or maybe you don't have storage units or collections of coins or things like that. But it's also important knowing what somebody does not have so that, you know, you can sort of narrow the field when you're in the search. And it's like a scavenger hunt, actually, when somebody dies. What do they have? Where is everything?
Right. And when you don't know really what you're looking for.
Right.
And right?
You know, I remember my grandparents had drawers of keys. When they passed away up in Canada, they had drawers of keys, and we spent weeks trying to fit keys into cabinets or this and that because nothing had been marked.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there's so many ways you can help your family when that time comes.
Exactly. And I do want to share with everybody, and this will be available, you know, on the link for this interview as well, but it's lastingmatters.com, very simple. I do wanna ask you, tell us about the Lasting Matters organizer itself and what kind of feedback you've received from people who have used the organizer. And I have to also say the fact that it was a must-read book for 2014, I mean, obviously people are finding it extremely helpful.
Yeah, it is. It's 170 pages. It may seem like a daunting task when you first start. I tell people to fill it out with pencil, although biographical data, certainly you can write in pen because that's not going to change. But maybe your wishes for your funeral service or, you're going to maybe buy and sell real estate and cars and change your mind as you go through life.
Right.
So in pencil is what I
recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I tell people to take baby steps going through it. The first chapter is called Immediate Matters. And literally, if you finish just the first chapter, you've already helped your family in so many ways. It really is just a matter of plowing through it.
First part is, what did you say? Immediate matters?
Yes, it's in six sections. So the first is immediate matters, which are, you know, it's all your biographical data, but it's also the major decisions. Do you want to be cremated or buried? If you choose to be cremated and nobody knows, and you can, you know, you're buried. I mean, I've heard hundreds of stories of things that have gone wrong where people are cleaning out desks after dad died. They find out dad actually wanted to be cremated with his ashes in certain places, but they've already buried dad. And then the family's left going, oh, we didn't do what we wanted. So it's a matter of letting your family really know what you want.
And I've heard examples of the reverse of that.
Right.
Where they cremated the body and then later found out they wanted to be buried.
Right. And buried somewhere nobody ever thought about.
Right.
Those are all the decisions, if you can make them and write them down. You can always change it, certainly. But it will be helpful in the end to do.
What about the other five sections?
So, well, let me tell you a couple examples, because you did ask about the feedback. And so I have heard from several people because the book was published in 2014. So I had heard from a couple of families. One in particular was a nurse who had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she did live for a year, but she went through the process of filling out the Lasting Matters organizer. She planned her entire funeral, and the family called and me up and said, you know, this was such a gift to us, because we knew what music she wanted, even what food she wanted. Because, you know, I tell people funerals are a lot like weddings. There's sort of a lot of the same components,
right?
All the details, flowers, food, reception. And so it became very personal and very special, because it was something that she had created. And so they just thanked me for having that knowledge. And I have another, I got another call from a widow who said the best thing about the Lasting Matters organizer is her husband, who had cancer, was able to write that he did not want a funeral service. And he wanted to have a cocktail party, have a celebration instead. And so she had some difficulty with her mother-in-law, who wanted a big Catholic funeral. And she was able to show the mother-in-law, her mother-in-law, in his handwriting that he actually, this is not what his wishes were. And it completely diffused what could have escalated into a major family debate or problem.
Wonderful.
So those are the types of things. It's just having the knowledge of that information. It's so helpful.
And I know on your website, it is a beautiful gift that you're giving your family. Because then it's just, like you said, it's peace of mind. They don't have to wonder. They're not wringing their hands. They're not fighting. Right. As that wife and mother-in-law could have been in a real tangle.
And there's also a lot of family discourse over possessions after somebody passes away. Who's going to get dad's watch? What's happening to mom's wedding rings? What about that antique car in the garage that the four siblings? And if there's no direction or no instruction, there's a lot of problems that crop up over possessions after somebody passes away.
Oh, I'm sure. Excuse me. So again, getting back to the six sections. So the first is the crucial decisions. And then tell us a little bit about the other five sections.
So if I can recall correctly, there's real estate matters, financial matters, there's end of life matters, which is sort of reflecting upon what you envision for your end of life and what matters most to you. Personal matters and private matters. Okay. And actually the personal and private are very interesting when people really think about it. For example, if you're somebody who keeps diaries,
right.
I had heard a family who had found mom's diaries, and mom had been very explicit about who she really preferred in her children, and it created a huge discourse in this family because they were reading diaries after she had passed away. So I've had people say to me, oh, I have diaries, but I'm going to go home and get rid of them. Because I don't want to leave that information behind.
Right.
There's also people that, you know, you find out things like maybe dad, had a relationship with somebody else. And to find something like that, you know, within months after they die, when you're going through their desk drawers, it's very hard. So private matters is... you know, those are things you should think about. What if you were going to die tomorrow, what are you leaving behind that may create some problems with, you know, the family?
So, that's really something to think about. And I'm sure a lot of people just don't think about that. Wow.
And in terms of the personal stuff. I, you know, we live in a much bigger digital world. Mm-hmm. So passwords, usernames, combinations, you know, that secret question you have to answer, like what is your father's uncle's name in order to get a bank account? You know, if you don't leave behind a trail of all that password information, it can take years for people to sort of wrap up somebody's digital life after. You know, I know people on Facebook that, you know, passed away several years ago, and they're still on Facebook because their family does not know how to
delete it.
End it. Yeah.
No, I know people as well. And it's kind of sad because when the birthday reminders come up and people don't realize this person has passed away and they're sending happy birthday wishes you're right. I think probably a lot of our viewers are nodding their heads that they understand that as well.
I knew a lady who, they had built a house and put 3 safes in the walls, and she
behind the drywall.
Behind the drywall, safes in the wall, in it just for, you know, documents, family, whatever it is that they were storing. And she passed away. She had a heart attack and died, and she had not told her husband the combinations to the safes. And so he had to get a locksmith. You know, it was a big process to get those kinds of things. So combinations, what are the key, where are keys, you know, those kinds of things. That's really important. It'll just save a lot of time and headaches.
Yeah, you're right. So tell the viewers what you call the 3 D's.
So the 3 D's, I call sort of the nuts and bolts of a person's life, especially end of life, that needs to be talked about. Mm-hmm. One is detail. One is decision. And documents. And I think for the most part, people do a good job getting their legal documents, their advanced care directives, although there's always room for improvement, but having a will, if you have property, to leave that behind. They do a good job. But I think there's a lack of really people making decisions today and communicating them either through the organizer or having conversations. But I also tell people, look, if you're going to have a conversation with one child, make sure you have it with the other one, because a lot of times they'll say, well, mom didn't say that to me, and then there's a problem. So making decisions today, you can always change them, but make them and make them clear. And then the details, like I said, nobody knows what's going on in your life better than you. And so, you know, there were just a lot of details when my mom died that we hadn't had those conversations. I wish I had those conversations, and I'd wish I'd asked her those questions, because there were no answers when she was gone.
Right. So how do you recommend starting the conversation about end of life? Because nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting. People ask me, first of all, I think that actually giving them a copy of the Lasting Matters organizer, people are either going to want to talk about what the process is or what you're going to put down. And then there are people that are not going to want to talk about it. But the important thing is asking them, say, look, this is your gift to me, giving me this information when it's going to matter most, and just quietly go fill it out and just tell me where it is, and that'll be that. But I think there's always opportunities for conversations. I don't know about you, but one of my jobs as a paralegal was to read the obituaries,
right,
and to see if clients had passed away. And because now I'm a boomer and just turned 60. You look in the paper there are people, you know, in our age group that are dying. And it always is an opportunity to talk about it. I think people say, don't talk about these things at the holidays. I think it's a great conversation starter. Like, has everybody around the table thought about whether they want to be cremated or buried? And if you want to be cremated, if you want your ashes spread, and where would that be? And, you know, you could be 10 years old and jump in that conversation, or 90. And a lot of people, I think the more you talk about it very honestly, because it is going to happen. It's like, if you're alive, you are eventually going to die. It's not, there's no, you know, you could put your hands over your ears and ignore it, but that's not going to do your family any good. And you're, even your, you know, if you're married, if you don't know what your spouse wants, and, you know, something happens, that if you're grieving, it's not a good time to make decisions when you're grieving, or even to think about it.
I've said a couple of times that it's a lot easier talking about going on a ventilator when you really don't have to go on a ventilator.
Exactly.
You know, and the name of this whole series, this telesummit, is taking the fear out of having conversations about advanced care planning, serious illness, and end-of-life care. So as boomers, 10,000 of us turn 65 every single day, which means in the next 20 to 30 years, there will be a lot of funerals. There'll be a lot of us crossing over the rainbow. And we have to raise everybody's comfort level. And I don't mean just family members. I mean medical professionals as well. We've got to raise everyone's comfort level about having these conversations. And when you're not really struggling with a serious illness or end-of-life situation, they can be fun. They can be fun conversations. You know, the way I suggest people start is just describe your perfect last day on the planet.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a pie in the sky conversation. And you could describe your perfect last day. And in doing that, you're going to say something that your loved ones didn't know would be a very fun, cool thing that you would want on your perfect last day. So you are really deepening and enriching your relationship with your loved ones by having these conversations.
And just start them. You know, you could be doing the dishes with your next to your father at Thanksgiving, and, you know, ask a question like, I've been thinking about this. Or I remember when my aunt died, I was the sole representative that went to her service, and I got home and I said to my husband, look, I think we should think about it. So where do we want a headstone? Do we want a plot? Do we want to do this? And we decided, okay, so we'll go ahead. We got a cemetery plot. We put a headstone in with our sort of family saying. And as it turns out, both his parents are now buried there because there was no plan for them. But here we have this plot. It's like, okay, well, you know, wow. So it's a matter of, I think people plan really well for everything else in their life. They, their education, or, you know, for their wedding, for their retirement, all of the things that we do, traveling, you know, all the things we do well in planning, with babies, having children. We don't do a good job planning for what I think is the biggest event, because what happens during that event is, not only are you no longer here, but you're leaving behind either a mess, mm-hmm. or something that has been thoughtful and talked about, and then everybody's feeling good about it.
And then you can enjoy that cocktail party
and you can have the cocktail.
Somebody had said, I don't want a funeral service, I want a cocktail party. And then everybody can enjoy the party because they know that's what that person wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what's on the horizon for Lasting Matters?
Well, I've just spent the last year and a half. I've developed a beta of the software that I'm going to market probably in the next few months. So that's it's interactive, and it mimics the Lasting Matters organizer, the paper edition, but it's more interactive and something that I can imagine advisors using for their clients, etc.
I wonder, so like a DVD?
Well, no, it would be like part of a, well, it's a software that's would be embedded in sort of a a program that if you had financial planning or estate planning.
I understand. Sorry. I was thinking about just a DVD with you instructing people about all the things. So this is actually something that you would load on the computer and help you complete the document.
You would complete it and you could you can share it with other people, parts of it or not. It's interactive that way. So that's what I've been working on. And literally just still getting the message out. I get calls every day and people saying, you know, how do you recommend I do this? And I always tell people that it's really important to say, do it for me. Like, I don't know how many children or adults or, you know, parents won't do that for their children. If you ask your parents, look, this is a gift for me. Could you please, you know, complete this or let's talk about it. Let's get some plans in place. Most people will do that for their families.
Yes.
They just need the tool. And they need direction. They need some help getting organized.
And just to the point of will they do it or will they talk about it or not talk about it, we had a woman, elderly woman, and her daughter was standing behind her. And we were trying to, encourage her to get her advanced care planning documents done. And she said, oh, I don't need to do that. My daughter knows what to do. And the daughter standing behind her, her face was like, I don't know what you want. We haven't talked about it. And I've had other people tell me that they try to get their mother, their grandmother to talk about it. The younger one is trying to get the older one to talk about it, and they won't do it.
Right.
Like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. And so to your point, you know, what do you do in those situations? Well, you're doing this for me.
Right.
You know, you're easing some anxiety and burden on me by talking about it. This is a gift you're giving to me, because it's surprising how many older people don't want to talk about it. Right. It's kind of understanding when younger people don't, but it's really surprising when older, you know, how many older people just, they don't want to have that conversation.
And one of the interesting parts though, is if you talk to widowers or widows, because they've experienced that chaos after their spouse died, they ultimately don't want to repeat that when they die. They want to help their children. So they're a great catalyst for, you know, getting things done. A lot of people stick their head in the sand, but when something happens, they recognize that there are things out there like the organizer to help them put all their things together.
That's right.
And I wanted it to be really practical. Like to me, it was not to be morose or morbid or let's talk about death all the time. It was more, let's just get organized so that, you know, I tell people, write your own obituary, write a draft of your obituary. Cause it's like writing a AP history exam, but you don't know where all the facts are. You know, you have to research and find out what schools and what, you know, what your parents were into. And writing an obituary is very stressful when you're grieving. So write one in advance. It's just very helpful.
That's right. And it's also much easier talking about what you want, under what conditions do you want it, when don't you want it anymore, when you really aren't faced with a serious diagnosis or, you know, it just talk about, do the scenario planning well in advance. Then when there is a serious diagnosis, now it's not scenario planning. Now we have a real situation we got to deal with, but we've already talked about some of these things. And now it's, you know, drilled down to, okay, now here's what we're dealing with. What are we going to do moving forward? And to your point, using the pencil, I think is genius because you change your mind.
You change your mind.
Through life, you change your mind.
You change your mind. And it's like the gerbil treadmill that we're all on, you know. Every year something changes. So, you know, just, I say, so fill it, take the time, fill it out, get your thoughts together, and then maybe revisit it every year.
That's right.
Or when you make major changes in your life.
Right. Exactly. We always say it's not a one and done.
No, never.
It should not be a one and done. And I really want people to go to your website and get this Lasting Matters organized. And again, the website's lastingmatters.com, because not only is it comprehensive, it's beautiful. I mean, it's really beautiful. The I guess, is it robin's egg blue, or what is the color of blue?
Yes, it's sort of a teal.
Yeah,
it's warm colors. It's,
and brown. It just looks so,
thank you,
comforting. It's just really a beautiful piece. It truly is.
Thank you.
So as we're kind of wrapping things up, are there any lasting, and speaking of lasting matters, are there any lasting comments or suggestions or points of wisdom you want to leave the viewers with before we kind of wrap things up?
Well, I, you know, quite honestly, I think there's no time like the present. You know, I don't know about you, but I think because of, maybe it's because of my age, I hear daily of diagnosis or sudden deaths, or, you know, we, because we're the sandwich generation, we've got parents, older parents, and we also have our friends and our spouses who are passing away. And so to me, there's no time like the present. Just take the time and do it. Your family will forever be grateful that you have left this gift behind of knowing what it is that you want and where everything's located.
Exactly.
There's nothing better.
And one of the experts in the series is Nathan Kotkamp, who is kind of the founder, if you will, of the National Healthcare Decisions Day, which is April 16, the day after Tax Day. And I saw that your Lasting Matters link is on their website.
Yes, as a resource. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
He's great. I think it's terrific what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting everybody to do their advanced care directives. Another, that's the document piece of the 3 Ds I talked about.
Right, right. And so to your point, no time like the present, but if you don't do it today, at least do it April 16th. And you can still access Lasting Matters on April 16th if you are thinking about that. If that sticks in your head, then you can access Lasting Matters via that website as well. But the best thing is today, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring.
Exactly.
Just like your mom was doing great one day, and then the next day she was gone. And I'm so sorry for that. That's such a tragic loss.
Probably good for her, but not for us.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So lastingmatters.com, Barbara Bates Sidorek, thank you so much for giving the world this gift. It's very, very helpful, comprehensive, beautiful gift to help everybody get organized. And, you know, it doesn't have to be doom and gloom conversation. It can be a fun conversation. And again, it can enrich your relationship with your loved ones by having these conversations. It will draw you closer together, not farther apart. So embrace it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, this was a lot of fun. This is an honor. And thank you again for producing such a beautiful piece.
Thank you.
All right.
Great day.
All right. You do the same.
Bye.